Even though the early polls seem to show a virtual deadlock, very much reflective of the American election, the end result will be the culmination of a trend that will mark a solid turnabout in Israeli politics and society. The era of the beautiful Israel, dominated by such symbols as the kibbutzim, the pioneer spirit, the leading political and philosophical tenets of socialist Zionism, is on the wane, if not over altogether. That era reached its apogee with the 1967 war, but it was the results of the war that also laid the seeds of its decline, a decline that began in the wake of the 1973 war, continued into 1977 with Menachem Begin's startling electoral victory, and remains on a steady downward pace to this day. The values of socialist Zionism are no longer dominant. Instead, one can find in Israel today the new values, a spirit of continued territorial expansionism, shrill patriotism, an exaggerated confidence in the military might of the Israeli Defense Force, a rigid fundamentalist belief in Israeli moral righteousness, and a deep suspicion that amounts to a denial of the peace process, especially after Camp David and the disastrous invasion of Lebanon. Complete Israel, not peace with the Arabs, is the determining political issue. The outright cynicism that prevails about the peace process seems to be justified by ongoing events. The uprising has also had the result of offering ripe ground for political opportunists who are very much to the right of Likud, which is basically a right-of-center party. They have gone so far as to advocate the transfer of Arabs from the West Bank. The difference between the extremes in the Labour and Likud parties is that the Labourites want to somehow extricate themselves from the West Bank and the Palestinians, while the Likudites want to transfer the Palestinians bodily out of the occupied territories and move them to Lebanon's Bekaa Valley. There is no love held for the Arabs in Israel. The suspicion is growing about the loyalty of Israeli Arabs who themselves, in the uprising's wake, have undergone a Palestinianization process. The uprising, the bankruptcy of the peace process, the daily atrocities and violence have helped accelerate the change of direction in Israeli politics. Israel's electorate appears to be moving to the right of center, and the 1988 election may institutionalize that change, taking the last giant leap begun in 1981 and continued in 1984 of establishing a Likud hegemony for the next three decades. A huge shift, demographic, intellectual, political and ideological, is taking place as a new Israeli generation, different in leaders, ideas, orientation, and action, takes over. Emphasis supplied. Israel's crisis is deeply rooted in the moral, economic, political, and international chaos created by 12 years of Likud misrule. Among the multiplicity of ills from which Israel is suffering are the following. 1. Israel's economy continues to deteriorate. At best, it survives only on a life support system which requires enormous annual transfusions from the US and the American Jewish community too. The Intifada and the government's attempts at repression are destroying the esprit de corps of the Israeli army and are a continuing drain on Israel's resources, estimated at $2.5 million per day. Israel's military leaders, with the exception of Ariel Sharon, know, and have said, that the battle against the Palestinian uprising is unwinnable. 3. There has been a significant defection and disillusionment among the intellectuals, both in Israel and the diaspora, and support among them for the Likud government has largely eroded away. 4. Immigration to Israel has slowed to a trickle as most Soviet Jews have spurned Israel in favor of other countries. 5. The emigration of educated and talented Israelis to the US, and a disproportionate increase of the Oriental Jewish population, Sephardim, are changing the demographic composition of the population of Israel in favor of the less educated and more radical Sephardim. 6. The Likud years have seen a rapid increase in corruption at all levels of government, as well as in the private sector. 7. The brutality of the Likud Zion Fist policy in the West Bank and Gaza has strained, perhaps irretrievably, the loyalty of the Arab populations of Israel proper, and has shocked most of the civilized world. The international situation is even more grim. Menachem Begin, during his regime, earned the distinction of being perhaps the most hated head of government in the world. The world leaders recently have expressed their feelings toward the Likud government of Israel and its arrogance by inflicting the worst humiliation ever suffered by a member nation when they voted 150-2 to move the UN session from New York to Geneva just to hear Yasser Arafat speak. Much of the sympathy of the world for the Jewish people, generated by the tragedy of the Holocaust, has been dissipated by the Likud leadership of Israel and its treatment of the Palestinians, who now have the moral support of most of none of Israel's desperate problems, internal and external, can be solved without peace. With peace can come solutions. Without it, Israel's situation in its hour of peril, its leadership, the Likud party, is bankrupt, dominated by a clique of religious nationalist extremists who are destroying Israel from within and isolating it from without. The Israeli ship of state is a rudderless storm-tossed vessel with a battery of loose cannons crashing about the deck, while Captain Yitzhak Shamir and steersman Ariel Sharon are shouting conflicting and incomprehensible orders. Yehoshaphat Harkabee, in his book Israel's Fateful Hour, expresses his: in recent years Israel has experienced massive decline, a worsening of the public mood, the vulgarization of political thought and language, a degeneration of norms of public conduct, permissiveness in state affairs, demagoguery, the good of the country shunted aside in the pursuit of short-term party gains, the domination of mediocrity, the proliferation of falsehoods and rampant deception of the people by their rule, a magnification of domestic tensions. The responsibility for this decline belongs to a great extent to the Likud government. This is the most serious result of the Likud's misrule, much more serious than either the economic crisis or the Lebanon war. Israel was never perfect, but nevertheless it earned a reputation as a symbol of cultural and social innovation. Even its military excellence was attributed to its citizens' public spiritedness. Today, however, unethical conduct in public life arouses no surprise in Israel. It has become the normal state of affairs. Brutal criticisms of government activities in the press makes no stir in the public, as the written word has been greatly devalued, along with everything else. When a responsible newspaper like Haaretz can open its editorial column with the statement "the fraudulent acts of Ariel Sharon and Menachem Begin dragged the country into Lebanon on the basis of a false claim May 27, 1985, without a political earthquake ensuing, the national conscience is clearly deadened, and perhaps dead, emphasis supplied. None of Israel's crisis compares in gravity with the crisis of leadership from which all else flows. The state of Israel, the earthly symbol of the Jewish people, has fallen into the hands of demagogues and fanatics who, in the name of religion, are leading the people of Israel headlong toward catastrophe. Since support for the above stated position is found in facts and circumstances, which both Jews, Reformed and Conservative, and non-Jews will find difficult to believe, it is necessary to rely upon sources whose credibility and authority are beyond question. In an article appearing in the Jerusalem Post, December 3, 1988, entitled "The Threats Are From Within," Ababin, one of the few statesmen left in Israel, summarizes his views in this respect: the existential threats to Israel and Zionism arise from within. They flow from disintegrative tendencies in Israeli society, illustrated by the spread of religious intolerance, chauvinism, fundamentalism, the eclipse of Enlightenment values, the retreat from scientific rationalism, and, above all, by the incongruous and untenable structure dictated by the exercise of coercive rule over a foreign nation, which inflicts more harm on Israel than upon its adversaries. The first 2 years of the National Unity Government opened horizons of potential peace which the last 2 years have blocked. The solitary hope is that the Israeli public and the Jewish world may have been shocked by the atmosphere of the past few months into the realization that Israel's body has grown stronger, while its soul has been undermined. Religious fanaticism, in his book, entitled Israel's Fateful Hour, to which we have several times earlier referred, Yehoshaphat Harkabee discusses the awakening of nationalistic religious extremism and the coming crisis in the occupied territories. Harkabee quotes many sources to support his thesis. Many in the religious camp find justification for an annexation of the occupied territories, or at least a prohibition against withdrawal, in Nachmanides's 1194-1270 commentary on Maimonides's 11:35 to 12:04, Book of Commandments. We are commanded to inherit the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and must not leave it in the hands of any other nation. We must not leave the land in the hands of the seven Canaanite nations, or of any other people in any generation. Rabbi Zvi Yehuda Cook, the mentor of Gushim.